Would you pause one more time and pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, rain upon our dry and dusty lives. Wash away our sin and burn away the chaff, and heal our wounded spirits. Kindle within us the fire of your love to burn away our apathy. And with your warmth, bend our rigidity and guide our wandering feet. This we pray, O Lord, through Jesus. Amen. So up until 2 weeks ago, we were studying in the Gospel of John. And I have to say, I personally thoroughly enjoyed that whole series and felt like the Lord spoke to me repeatedly. And hopefully he spoke to you as well. And so this morning I want to kind of, in a sense, do a wrap-up of that by looking at the book of Acts. And the title of this message is "The Story Continues." So listen to the opening words of Acts. Luke is writing this time instead of John, and he says, in the first book, Theophilus, that's the Gospel according to Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. The implication of that is that Theophilus and all of us, I'm going to tell you now the things that Jesus continued to do and teach after he was taken up to heaven. So part of what we need to get firmly planted in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives is that what Jesus did in his life and ministry, he wants to continue to do in and through the church. And so we have the story of Acts, in which that continuing story goes on. And then he says, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God, which is what he did throughout all of his ministry. He talked about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. If you go back to the beginning of Luke, when Luke is talking about John the Baptist, this is what we read. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming who is more powerful than I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Any of you who have been here for any length of time ought to kind of catch that my perspective is that you and I have both wheat and chaff in our lives. So as an example, when Jesus says in Matthew 25, here's what's going to happen. The Father is going to divide everybody into sheep and goats. And the sheep are going to enter into eternal life, and the goats are going to enter into eternal fire. Part of what goes on in the hearer's mind is, well, am I sheep or goat? He says, the way you can tell whether you're sheep or goat is, did you ever feed the hungry? Did you ever clothe the naked? Did you ever give water to the thirsty? If you are, you're sheep. So let me ask you that question. Did you ever do any of those things? If you did, please raise your hand. I'm so proud of you. What a good group of sheep. But we have to go the next step. Did we ever make the choice to not feed the hungry? Did we ever make the choice to not clothe the naked? Did we ever make the choice to not give a drink of water to the poor? If you fall into that category, would you please raise your hand? You see, sheep and goats all together. And the goats go to the fire, unquenchable fire. What is the fire all about? Jesus goes on in the book of Acts in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is another way of saying Jesus is giving them directions and saying, you know, there was a point in after my resurrection in which I breathed on you and said, receive a Holy Spirit. And even as the Father has sent me, so I send you. God is a sending God. He is a missional God. And he sends Jesus into the world for a purpose, which is to redeem a lost world, to deal with both the wheat and the chaff in the world, to bring about redemption. And he says to his disciples, now you get to become a part of that project as well. And in this text, he says, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And because the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the one that John talked about, who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If it were here today, he would say, in Colorado Springs and the rest of Colorado, and yea, verily, even Texas and Oklahoma, God forbid, and to the ends of the world, even Kabul, Afghanistan. You will be my witnesses. That's how the story continues. And fast forward to chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. They've been in that place praying and asking and waiting for the coming of the Spirit, asking God to guide them, to give them truth, what they're to do next, waiting, watching, and praying. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Past times when I've preached on this text, I focused on the wind and the wind of the Spirit, the pneuma. I want to focus on fire today. What happens when the fire falls? And what is it about fire? Fire is attractive. Have you ever noticed when the kids come up here? There's always a few of them that try and get as close to the fire as possible. And then either Anna or some concerned mother will come and sit and make sure that she's in between them and the fire. Because, why? We don't want them to get burnt, right? Fire burns. It's also attractive. It also brings warmth. Fire consumes, but it also fuels. It's a release of abundant energy. Look at the fire that takes place when a rocket is launched and the amount of thrust that has to happen for that rocket to leave the launching pad. Fire. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire falls and it burns and it energizes. That fire motivated, enabled, and fueled the ability of those Palestinian Jews gathered in that room to spill out into the street. And a crowd gathered. And the crowd was amazed and astonished, and they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's amazing deeds of power." And they were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, the fire burning within him, an uneducated fisherman from Galilee, stands up in front of that conglomeration of people and preaches the church's first sermon. And at the end of the sermon, the people ask, "What do we do? What do we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, so that the same thing that has happened with us can be happening with you. So that the fire can fall and burn in your lives. And when the fire burns, it not only fuels us and our passions, it also burns away the chaff. It refines." The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:29, "Our God is a consuming fire." Not he's like fire. Not he has fire. He is a consuming fire. To my knowledge, the only other place where it says God is something is when John says God is love. God is a consuming fire and he is love. And the fire is love and the love is fire. And it burns within us. And it's supposed to do something. And one of the things it's supposed to do is cause us to burn with the passion to be witnesses in Colorado Springs. And in Colorado, and in Texas, and in Oklahoma, and in Kabul. And all the other places in between. And the other thing that the fire is supposed to do is to burn the chaff out of Bill Tybert's life. And to burn the chaff out of your life. And your marriage. And your family. And your business. The fire burns. And there is something frightening about it. But there is also something very attractive about it. And the fire consumes. That's the way God's love works. And so we read at the end of Acts 2, what do? Well, repent and be baptized. And so they did. And then those thousands of people gathered and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Devoted themselves. Think about that for a moment. The fire that burns within them, the fire of the Holy Spirit, caused them to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of believers, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then we read, as a result of that, more people in Jerusalem came to know the Lord. The fire burned, and Peter and John healed the lame man. And the people around didn't like that, and so they arrested Peter and John, and the fire burned, and Peter and John spoke with eloquence against the Sadducees and for the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happened as a result of that? More people became a part of the church, this burgeoning group of Jews who began to follow Jesus, believing that his life, death, and resurrection and ascension was continuing in and through them because the fire was burning within them. And all they are is witnesses. They aren't apologists. They aren't telling everybody, this is why you should believe. All they're doing is bearing witness to the truth. This is what God has done. It started with Israel, and out of Israel came this guy, Jesus. And this man, Jesus, was crucified. And he was buried in a grave. And God raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God and the Lord of the world. That's the gospel. That is the good news. That Jesus is Lord of the world. Caesar is not Lord of the world. The United States of America is not the power of the world. Obama is not the Lord of the world. And if Romney were the president, Romney wouldn't be Lord of the world. Jesus is Lord of the world. And that's the good news. And because he's Lord of the world, the fire burns. And it burns to refine, and it burns to fuel our passions. In Acts chapter 5, we read about the fire burning. It burns Ananias and Sapphira. Because they chose to pretend to be something that they weren't. They chose to do something that they said they didn't do. I wonder why there aren't more Ananias and Sapphira amongst us. Because the fire burns. In Acts chapter 6, the church was in danger of division because there were Greek-speaking Jews and there were Hebrew-speaking Jews, and there was complaints because one group wasn't being taken care of and the other should have been taking care of them. And the fire burned. And what happened when the fire burned was the church found a way to stay together rather than separate. And they chose people full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's fire to serve out of equity. And the result was that more people became a part of the church. In Acts chapter 7, the fire burned in one of those men chosen to help that happen. His name was Stephen. Stephen burned with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and he stands up in front of the Sanhedrin and gives the longest speech in all of Acts. And at the end, he's taken out and he is murdered. The fire burns. And as a result of Stephen's death, persecution visits the church. And the church is scattered. The church had become complacent, even in that short period of time. They settled into a nice pattern that said, we're a holy huddle. We're part of each other. We don't need to go out. Jerusalem is sufficient. We don't need to go to Judea. We don't need to go to Samaria. We don't need to go anyplace else. But the fire burns, and Philip is sent to Samaria. And new life happens there. In fact, a eunuch becomes part of the church. In the old law, the eunuch doesn't get to be part of the church. But here, a eunuch is brought in. The fire burns and the barriers are broken down. in Acts chapter 9. Saul is on his way to Damascus because he has a fire burning within him. But it's a fire of destruction. It's a fire of death. And the fire falls from heaven, a light from heaven, and knocks Saul off of his donkey and turns his life around. And the fire burns within Paul, and it burns away the chaff in Paul and redeems Paul to become the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul experiences new life in Christ, just like every other believer. He's not converted to a new religion. He recognizes the reality of who God really is. And he recognizes that in the face of the risen Lord. The fire burns. And Paul begins to preach right away. And the fire burns. In Acts chapter 10, the fire burns and Peter is given a vision in a dream. And in that vision, in that dream, he's told, that which God calls clean, you may no longer call unclean. Well, wait a minute, God. Aren't you the one who said these particular kinds of food were unclean? Aren't you the one who said this particular kind of people, they're unclean? God is always about the business of doing a new thing. And the fire burns in Peter. And the fire burns in Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion. And the fire falls. And that group of Gentiles begin to speak in tongues. And then Peter has to go back and report to Jerusalem. And he says, look at folks, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was talking and all of a sudden the fire fell. What was I to do? God has clearly included those who we've excluded. And in Acts chapter 11, not just the apostles, but ordinary Christians begin to gossip about the kingdom of God and the reality that God has done something in the person of Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection, and he is now Lord of the world, and more Gentiles become part of the faith. In Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch is fasting and praying, watching and waiting, and asking the Lord what to do next. And they experience the burning of the fire. And that burning says, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the job that I have for them to do. And they get sent out as embers into the world. Way beyond Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, they are on march to the ends of the world. And the fire burns. And we see story after story after story where the fire continues to burn. And the church continues to grow. Not huge in numbers, but enormous in impact. And then we read in Acts chapter 28, Paul's been arrested and he is in Rome and he's in chains. Paul's being consumed by the fire. But while he is in Rome and in chains, he has the privilege of sharing the good news of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord of the world, even to the very seat of power. And then it ends. The book just ends. There's no conclusion. Well, you know, did Luke get killed or something? He didn't get to complete the book? No. Because Acts 29 is going on right now. You and I are part of Acts 29. The fire burns in us. So the fire burns in Doug and Jan Moore, and they give up jobs in order to help people in need emotionally and relationally. And for 25 years? 25 years they've been doing that. Has it been easy? No, but the fire burns. And it burns some of the chaff away within them, as well as fueling the good work that they're doing. And the fire burns in Kathy Eskew, and she believes that she's called to be a pastor. Even though there are people in the church that say, oh, no, that doesn't fit. That's not, God says something different. And remember, people of the female gender, they're to keep silent in church. Right? That's why I banished them a couple weeks ago.
We came back.
But the fire burns away the chaff in the church, and she's ordained, and she's here in our midst, burning. And the fire burns in Mike Brown, and it sends him to Central Asia, where he endures unthinkable hardship because the fire is burning. And the fire burns in Peggy Wilbur, and she gets this crazy idea to teach kids out of the Rustic Hills apartment complex during the summer how to read. The fire burns, and 70 people come around and say, I want to be a part of that. I'm attracted to that flame. But I guarantee you, when you get close to the flame, the fire burns. And it not only fuels, it also refines. I mean, we could go on and on and talk about the different stories of the lives here in this room right now who have been burned by the fire, whose lives have been turned around and reoriented. That's what repentance is. It's a reorientation of our lives. And if our lives are not burning with that passion, then we need to pray the prayer that I prayed at the beginning. Lord, burn away our apathy. Burn away our apathy. And instead, fill us with your fire. That's what I'm praying for. I pray for it for myself. Lord, fill me with your fire. Burn away the chaff. Burn away all that stuff that is ugly. Because I know it's going to be burned away one time or another. It's either going to be now or it's going to be at the judgment day. It's going to get burned away. So why not do it now? Just some thoughts for the morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do pray that we would be Acts 29. That the story would continue in us. And we know that the only way the story continues if your fire falls. And so we pray that we would be people who would learn to watch and wait and pray. And wait for the fire to fall and then get in step. And we pray that as we give our offerings this morning, as we give money, that you would burn away the chaff that wants us to hold on to money. You would also burn away the chaff that where we want to determine exactly how that money gets used. And we want to do what Ananias and Sapphira didn't do. We want to give freely and generously, not only of our substance of money, but also of the substance of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.